Welcome to Faith and Victory Church. Faith and Victory Church is an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. We welcome all who love to worship God and those who wish to deepen their relationship with Him. Pastors Matt and Crystal Krachunas are inviting you to come worship with them and the congregation of Faith and Victory Church this Sunday. To find out more about Faith and Victory Church, check out our website, www.faithandvictory.com. You will find that there is something for everyone at Faith and Victory Church. Now join us for the Spirit-filled message.
Amen. Well, for those of you that are just joining us this morning, we are continuing our study of the book of John, and we've been in this thing for about 6 months. And I know that some of you have been to a church where they can go through a book in the Bible in like 6 weeks. I ain't doing that. Like, we take our time. So if we can only get through one word, we take one word. If we can get through a sentence, we take a sentence. We just take it as it comes. So the good news is, if you're just joining us, you can catch up this week by just reading three chapters of John. You'll be right where you need to be. Amen? You know, part of the problem with my life is that in some areas of my life that I'm really unsatisfied. And does anybody know what it's like to feel unsatisfied? You know, oftentimes I'll go and I'll eat a large meal because, I mean, look at me, I eat large meals. And at the end of it, sometimes you just don't feel satisfied. You feel like, man, I just need just a little bit more. And part of the problem that we have in living on this earth is that we go to things that we feel are going to satisfy us and they don't end up satisfying. And so what does it do? It leaves us empty. It leaves us wanting. It leaves us in a place where we wonder, well, is there something else that I should have done? Something else that I should have had that would help me to be satisfied? Well, this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about a story that Jesus has with a woman at a well of water. And he talks to her about the most important thing in her life that's going to satisfy every single need that she has. And what we're going to see this morning is that the only thing that's going to satisfy in this life is Jesus. It's the only thing. If there's anything else in your life that you're expecting that's going to satisfy you besides Jesus, you're going to always be left feeling wanting. You're going to be left empty. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 4, verse 7, if you would, please. In John, chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as also did his sons and his flocks and herds?' Verse 13, Jesus answered, 'Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life.'" This is a great story. And what you're going to see this morning is going to give us some illustrations on how we should view other people, how we can interact with Jesus and what he can do for us if we would let him. So let's talk about this story. Jesus goes into this area of the Middle East. And for those of you that were here last week, you remember the story. We talked about how Jesus viewed the people in Samaria and how he needed to go down there to minister to them. And so we're continuing that story in that Jesus goes to this area called Samaria. And they're in this area where a bunch of people that Jews didn't associate with. They didn't want anything to do with them. So Jesus goes out to this lady. It's the middle of the day. It's 12 o'clock. And it's right next to a well. And Jesus asks this woman, he says, "Will you give me a drink?" And the woman says, "Why are you even talking to me? We're not supposed to be talking. You're going to get me in trouble here." And Jesus says, "Listen, if you really knew who I was, you would have asked me for a drink, and I would have given you more than you could have ever wanted." And then he says, "You know what? The most important thing that you have in your life is that you need eternal life. And I would have given it to you if you would have just asked. And then you would never thirst again. You'd never feel dissatisfied. You'd never feel empty ever again." And so as I looked at this story, I thought about it. I thought, you know, what does this thing mean? You know, first and foremost, what this story illustrates to me is that Jesus Christ is willing to break down every single societal, racial, and cultural boundary that people have against other people. It's true. If you think about this story, the Samaritans and the Jews were considered separate races. They came from different cultures. They had different societies in which they lived. And you've got to understand the culture of this time. During this time, men didn't even talk to women in public that weren't their wives. That was the only woman they were allowed to talk to. And so Jesus, the Savior of the universe, walks up to this woman in the middle of broad daylight and breaks a bunch of boundaries. Not supposed to talk to a woman, not supposed to talk to a Samaritan, not supposed to talk to this person that's not your wife. It's what he says. And there were severe punishments for the women and men if they were caught in this situation. Severe punishment that might include, you know, stones or, you know, those type of things. I don't know if you've ever been stoned. It's not good. But Jesus goes against the grain on this one. He goes up to a woman in broad daylight and engages her in conversation. And it says a lot. What does it say? It says to the people that are in this culture, Jesus is saying the laws that you have in this culture are limiting your ability to be able to reach out to those in need who need to be reached. He says to them, I came for everyone to be saved, and I'm going to cross whatever cultural boundaries that you may have to do this task. Jesus says, I don't care how you guys live your life. I'm going where no one else is going to go. I'm going to go to people that nobody else is going to go to. You guys say don't talk to them. I don't care. God loves all people. God desires relationship with all people. And so what does he do? He breaks down these walls to show the people that were there, like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to share the love of the Father with everyone. I'm not going to be limited. And so what's funny about this story is that the woman even goes so far to push back on Jesus. He's doing the right thing. And she's like, don't talk to me. He reaches out to her and says, will you give me a drink? And she's like, don't you understand? If somebody sees us talking, we're both in trouble. You're not even supposed to talk to me. She says to me, how can you ask me for a drink? Jesus, what Jesus did in this situation, he actually made himself less. He was the Savior of the universe. I mean, he tells her, he says, listen, if you would have asked me, I would have given you eternal life. But he makes himself less. He comes down to her level and puts her in the position of power and says, listen, I would like a drink. Would you give it to me, please? The Savior of the universe goes to her and asks her for a drink. Why do I think he did that? Because I think that Jesus was kind of shrewd. I think he knows how that would open up a conversation for her to be able to ask him a question. What did he think? Why was he doing this? What did he have to offer in this situation? And he's not afraid to put himself in a lower position. He's not afraid to put himself in a position where he doesn't have all the power. He realizes it's the only way that he's going to be able to reach these people. Samaritans were enemies of the Jews. He's willing to do whatever it takes. And where does he do it? He does it in broad daylight. In broad daylight. The story could have been in a back alley somewhere Jesus approached. When it was dark at night. No, in the middle of the day, in the middle of the afternoon, in broad daylight, he does it. Why? Because he wants everyone to see, I am willing to reach out to the unreachable. All of his disciples were with him. Actually, the story says back, if you look in the story, it says the disciples had gone to Sychar to go secure some food, to do some shopping. Interesting part of the story, the disciples already were walking in what Jesus asked them to do. He sent them off. He sent them off to go buy food from people they weren't supposed to be buying food from either. The disciples already got it. They already understood it. They said, you know what, we're going to have to reach out to these people that society won't reach out to. These people that you have cast away that you think have no value. See, the interesting part of Jesus' ministry is that the first people that he came for were the Jews. Now, unless you are actually a bloodline Jewish person in this room this morning, Jesus did not come for you first. So you're like, what? I don't understand that. That's what the word says. First, the salvation was first for the Jew, then the Gentile. What happened, though? The Jews rejected him. They rejected his kingship. They rejected his messiahship. They rejected his authority. And so what does Jesus do? Fine, you don't want me? I know a bunch of other people that do.
Yeah, that's right.
I know a bunch of other people that can receive something from me. He says, you know what? I don't see people as white or black or Asian or whatever. He just sees people as people. He just sees them as people. You know, when we set out to have this church and set out to do this thing, we never wanted to have a white church. I don't want a white church. White people are boring. It's true. And all the non-whites said, amen. It's true. You can be proud about it. It's fine. I tell you, you go to a party with white people and all they have is hot dogs and hamburgers. And a bag of chips.
Not at my party.
That's it. What can I bring? I'll bring a bag of chips. That's what white people do. You hang out with people that aren't, they know how to party. Have a good time. You know, I said, I want our church to look like heaven.
Amen.
I want our church to look like heaven. Because heaven is full of all people. That's how God views people. He doesn't look, he looks so far past our skin colors. He looks so far past our cultures. He looks past our nations. He looks past where we live. The only thing he sees us as is people and our inherent worth for the capacity that we have to grow in a relationship with the Father. That's all he sees. We're the barrier. We're going to get to that in a second here. We're the barrier between God being able to reach other people. It's never Jesus. So the next part of the story is this. So Jesus says to them, or to this gal, he says, listen, if you would have asked me for a drink, I would have given you living water. If you would have just asked me for a regular cup of water, I would have given you living water. What does that say to me? It says that Jesus always gives us more than we ask for. He always gives us more than we ask for. This lady's immediate need was a cold cup of water. Her greater need was eternal life. And Jesus says, listen, if you would have just trusted me enough to ask for something small, I would have given you something bigger than you ever would have expected. If you would have understood who I am, I'm God in the flesh. Can you see that? I'm the Savior of the universe. Can you see that? I would have given you anything that you wanted if you would have just asked me for a drink of water. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 9, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? The heart of Jesus has always been to give people more than they expected. We don't serve a just going to get by kind of God. We don't serve a God that says, you know what, I'm only going to give you enough so you can get just a little bit. He says, you know what, if you will trust me with the smallest parts, I will bless you in the biggest parts. I will take care of every single need that you have. People get caught up in this realm of expectation that they feel as though the only thing they can ask of God is for His will. Now, I want God's will in my life. Don't get me wrong. And I believe that we should live in God's will. But the problem with a lot of Christians is we're afraid to ask God for anything. We don't pray about stuff. We just figure we'll handle it on our own. God, I'll go get that job. God, I'll go fix that relationship. God, I'll go take care of this thing. I'll take care of everything on my own. God, I don't want to bother you with these menial things in my life. Where the heart of the Father is, bother me with the menial things of your life. I want to be your provider. I want to be your sustainer. I want to be the one that's going to be able to take care of you. And so Jesus says to this woman, why didn't you ask me for a drink? He's setting this expectation that if a person would have enough faith, they can ask of the Father anything that they would desire. Here's the picture here. The word picture here is water and thirst. It's the word picture that Jesus is using. He's saying, you know what? I know what it's like to be thirsty. Don't we all know what it's like to be thirsty? I'm kind of thirsty right now, in fact. Let me just have a little drink. We all know what it's like to be thirsty. Interesting part about being thirsty. Once you're thirsty, do you realize you're already dehydrated? You're supposed to drink before you get thirsty. I remember when we were at when I was in high school, I played high school football. And bless God, they've changed the way that they run things now. When I was in high school playing sports, water was a treat. Like they didn't realize that like you needed it to live. And so we would be out playing football in the middle of August, two-a-days, and they would make us run to get our water. And, you know, you guys didn't get water for another hour. You just better keep going. Guys are just, like, passing out and couldn't do anything. And so I went to a school where there was, like, I don't know, 75 guys on the team. And they'd be like, all right, you got 1 minute for water. And there was one spigot.
Oh, gosh.
And so the one guy would be like, everybody else behind going, come on, come on, come on. So what did Coach do? He set up this other thing with a hose. And it was like an old piece of PVC pipe set up to a dirty hose that just, like, shot water up in the air. But I tell you what, man, we were so thirsty. We were just, ah. We didn't care how dirty it looked. We didn't care what it was. We were thirsty. When you're thirsty, you'll drink what's ever put before you. When you're thirsty, you'll put what's you'll drink what's ever put before you. Jesus says to them, if you would have won the big prize, you would have got more than that which you seek. You would have got life eternal with the Father if you would have had enough faith to ask for just a drink. More than she asked for, more than she expected, more than she needed. That's what Jesus does. He gives you more than you would expect. You ask Jesus for one, he'll give you two. You ask him for a little bit more, it's going to come overflowing. You ask for change, and he will completely change it. Truth is, I don't think the problem is God answering prayer. I think it's us asking for it. I think if I had the ability to look through every single area of your life, your problem isn't that God doesn't answer your prayers. Your problem is you don't ask God for enough. Nobody's going to amen me on that one, huh? It's true. For some reason, we get caught up in this thing that says, well, I'm afraid to ask God because he's too busy. Or I'm afraid to ask God because what if he doesn't do it? God doesn't say worry about it. He says, trust me and I'll take care of it. That's what he says. He guarantees it. Eternal life for all who ask in faith. And here's what happens, is that Jesus satisfies her thirst. Jesus satisfies whatever thirst that we may have. And that's that part of asking that we have to understand, that it is Jesus who knows best what we need. He knows what we truly need. What we actually may need may not wrap up exactly with what we think we want. He always knows what we need for. That was what this lady thought. This lady thought, I need a drink of water. And Jesus is like, you do not need a drink of water. What you really need is living water. You need eternal life. And he says it in verse 13. He says, listen, everyone who drinks this water, and it means any general water, is going to be thirsty again. Because it's something tangible on this earth, right? Tangible things on this earth, they satisfy temporarily. Have you guys ever gone to somewhere like the Goodwill or the St. Vincent de Paul and gave something away? While you were unloading things from your car, did you ever look at them and think, man, I remember when I first bought this, how excited I was. And now I can't even find someone that'll take it, that I got to give it away. Am I the only one? And it crossed my mind. I thought, man, why was I so excited to buy this thing? Because it temporarily satisfies. It temporarily satisfies. That's the nature of things of this world. They only temporarily satisfy. They don't provide eternal satisfaction. They don't provide the eternal longings that we have inside of us are not satisfied with the things that we buy. They're not satisfied with the things that we do. The only thing that satisfies is what Jesus gives us, which is that living water. What we really desire is contentment, isn't it? Contentment in where we're at and what we have. Let me show you a verse about contentment. Turn me to Philippians chapter 4. I think it's in here somewhere. Philippians chapter 4. There's this guy, Paul, and he's talking about being satisfied. I just want to share you this verse because it's a good one. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. He says, I'm not saying this because I am not in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Wouldn't that be great to be content no matter what the circumstances, no matter what you're going through? He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. He says, no matter what I'm going through, I know that through Jesus, I can do everything. It's truly the only answer, folks. We can only find contentment in Jesus and who He is. Whatever drink He gives us is what we need, and it's going to satisfy whatever thirst we have. We can't live in this mindset that says the only thing that's going to solve my thirst is what I think I need. But isn't it what we do? We set it up in our mind. We say, oh, I'm so thirsty. I'm so dissatisfied. Jesus, the only thing that's going to satisfy me is this one thing, and I'm going to set it up, and if you don't give me this one thing, I'm still going to be thirsty. Let me, hold on. They never get it, sister. What I always do is I always set Jesus up, and I say, you know what? I'm only going to be satisfied if you give me this thing that I want, that I think that I need. Why? Because I'm a shallow, hopeless individual. I'm a dirty... Sure, the biggest amen I get in the morning. Jenna's despicable. That's what she is. She's chief of sinners. But we set them up, don't we? That's what we do. You know, when I was a kid, I used to drink this stuff. We called it the nectar of the gods. Kool-Aid. You guys remember Kool-Aid? And I don't know why, my mom, bless God, she probably won't listen to the sermon so I can talk funny about her. That woman, my whole entire life, she would never buy a sugar cereal. My kids ain't have no sugar cereal, but what would we do? We just 2 cups of sugar into the Kool-Aid. How does that make sense? All I eat now is sugar cereal, and it's her fault. I go to Jay's house. Pastor Jay's house always had the sugar cereal. His mom thought I didn't eat. It was just because I never got sugar cereal. So you're sitting at home and you're a kid and you're thirsty and you go and you look in the refrigerator and there's no Kool-Aid. And as a kid, you think, man, the only thing that's going to satisfy my thirst is a big red sugary drink. No way what is this coming out of the spigot? I don't know. What is this in the sink? I have no desire for this. We set ourselves up to say the only thing that's going to satisfy is the sugary red drink. Limited. Ever flowing. Never ending supply. We don't want to drink water. Water's bland. Water's boring. But it's truly what we need. It's the greatest thirst quencher that there is clean, fresh water. Why do we want the red drink? Because it tasted good. And it's because what I thought I wanted and I needed. It's the only thing that's got, no way this boring, bland water is going to satisfy. It does satisfy. Clean, fresh water satisfies. And it's truly the only thing that will satisfy your thirst. Amen. So what do these words mean to you? Let's get into this, okay? That was just my intro. Did you guys like the intro? It's good. Some of you visitors, man, I hope you packed a lunch. What time are you guys got? About 1:30? Visitors are like, oh, man, 2. We'll go till 2 today. Listen, if you wanted to watch the Hawks, you would have been home. It's fine. They started at 10 o'clock. It's fine. All the 10 o'clock people, they were like, we'll just repent and give an extra. Let's get us out of here. So what does it mean to you? First off, you should break down all boundaries in your mind that keep you from reaching out to other people. Do you hear me, church? You have to get past this mindset that thinks the only people I can reach are people that look like me, sound like me, and act like me. One of the greatest tools that Satan likes to use within the Christian church is this idea that I can only reach out to people that are like me. I'm going to be in a social situation if that person isn't my same culture, or if that person isn't my same color, or if that person has more money than me or has less money than me, then I shouldn't even be talking to them. It's a lie from the pit of hell. People are people. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how poor you are. I don't care how you were raised. I don't care what your race is. I don't care about any of that. If you peel back the onion and you look into the hearts of, I would say, all people, we all have the same basic needs. We want to be loved. We want to be accepted. We want to be understood. We want to have a little bit of entertainment. It's just, people are people. They just come in different packages. Our charge as Christian people is to touch everyone with the love of the gospel. With the love of Jesus Christ. And the barrier to doing that is usually ourselves. Just like Jesus and the Samaritan woman, we go into these situations and we say, well, I'm not supposed to talk to them. Right? It happens at your work. Somebody that's an outcast and everybody says, well, that's the person that nobody talks to. Don't talk to them. It's true. That's what happens. You go into an apartment complex and people say, well, that's the person that nobody talks to. Don't talk to that person. Society's boundaries set up to limit your ability to be able to touch other people with the love of the gospel when, truthfully, that's what God calls us to do. Jesus is demonstrating that for us. We have to be willing to cross those boundaries and reach out to people, and it starts in our mind. It's how you view and think about people. Either you see them as a person loved by God or you don't. Do you hear me? Every person that you meet and that you see. And just let me say this. You know what's interesting is that a lot of times when you're not in somebody's sphere of influence, you can actually have more influence than the people within the sphere. If you're an older person and you reach out to a younger person, they'll actually receive it more from you than their peers. It's true. Oftentimes when you're talking to people that aren't in your same perceived social strata, it has more meaning. Just because you don't live in their same world doesn't mean that they're not like you, because they are like you. You can talk to anyone about anything, anywhere, anytime. Every single one of them need Jesus. And one of the places I love to talk to people is at the gym. Crystal loves it because she always says, you know what, you talk to so many people. We're here to work out. I got to work the room, man. Like, I got to go talk to my people. People I'm building relationships with. Chris, she's so goal-oriented. She's like, hey, how's it going? God bless you. I'm getting on the thing. She's going to go. Me, I'm like, there's no rush. I got nothing but time. You know, and this summer we were at the gym, and Chris will tell you, I talk to people all the time. Few people have showed up at the church here because of the gym. And this is just one part of our life. And so we were there, and we had gotten some smoothies, and they got the smoothie place at our gym, and we don't get them that often because they're like $6 a pop. We put them on layaway. Like. And so we went outside, and it was a sunny day, and we're sitting on the concrete wall, and there was a bench, and there was this short little Asian lady. She was about this tall. And I was like, everybody's short to you. Well, she was this tall. She was this Asian lady, and she, I don't know, she was probably 60-something years old or whatever, and we're sitting on the other side, and I looked at her, and I thought, I don't talk to that lady. So I went over, and I sat down next to her, and it was almost like she was surprised. It was almost like this. She looked at me, she's like, why is this big, white, bald guy talking to me? Why are you talking to me? Why? Because she was there. She was sitting there, and I thought, man, this is an opportunity for me to connect with somebody else about the love of Jesus. And I said, we sat down, we had a nice little conversation. She told me about how she came here from Vietnam in the late 70s and how much she loved America and how much she loved going to the gym. And we just had a pleasant conversation, just the two of us. And I thought, you know, I wonder what people thought coming out of that gym, me sitting out there talking to this lady, we're just sitting back having some smoothies. And why do I share that story with you? Not because you're like, oh, Matt, he's so nice. He's on the thing with the smoothie. It had nothing to do with that. This is my life, man. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you are. I don't care how you look. When I go places, I find the toughest looking guy in the room, and I come up and start talking to him about Jesus. Amen. Why? Because I figure no one else is going to do it. Right. People that are the most outcast, that's the one I want to hang out with. That's the one I want to be around. Why? Because usually those are the people that need Jesus the most. I'm not sharing this as me. Listen, I do a lot of things wrong in my life. A lot of mess ups. Okay? I just want to share that story with you to let you know it's totally fine to talk to people. People already think you're weird. They already think you're crazy. Don't worry about what people think about you. We spend so much time worrying about what people think about. Cross the boundary. Go and talk to someone. Now, here's the other part that this speaks to us. We should ask from Jesus more than we think that we should. Do you hear me? You should ask from Jesus more than you think you should ask from Him. You would be surprised what God will give to you if you would just ask Him. Do you know why most people don't get from God? Because they're afraid to ask. It's funny. You go out with me to a restaurant or come to me on a business deal, you'd be surprised. Like, dude, how did you get that? Because I asked. She said, waitress says, how you doing today? I said, man, I'd be a whole lot better with a free appetizer. She says, well, we don't do that. I know you don't always do that. If people say, why do you do that? Well, you never know if you don't ask. You know how you get 100% of nothing if you don't ask. Yeah. Most people don't do this because they're afraid to be rejected. And in this story, he displays what is a spiritual truth. Ask for what you need. Ask for what you think you need. This lady didn't need a drink of water. She needed eternal life. She thought she needed a drink of water, but what she truly needed was eternal life. And Jesus displays to her. He says, you know, listen, I'm the one that's got the power. Would you just trust me? Would you ask me for those things that you want in your life? Would you trust that I can take care of those things? Jesus knows what you need. And if you need more than what you're asking for, ask for more. And let me just stop for a second here. Some people are going to hear this message because of places that you've been to before, things you knew. You're going to say, like, oh, man, is this one of them prosperity churches? Dude, listen, I think every church should be a prosperity church. Are you kidding me? What, are we supposed to be the desolate church? Are we the broke, busted, and disgusted church? Like, listen, I'm not about, like, air-conditioned doghouses, golden toothbrushes, and... You know what I'm saying? Listen, you know where the line rests of how Christians should not be, right? Slurpees, that's an act of God. Listen, bring the heresy in here. Slurpees are from Jesus. I just want you guys to understand, because I do believe that sometimes Christians will go through periods of their life when they're lacking to draw in closer to the Father. I believe that that's scriptural. But what I also believe is that the Christian that is putting God first in his life shouldn't have to want. I truly believe that. The Bible declares time and time again, if you put Jesus first in your life, you're not going to have to worry about whether or not you're going to eat. You're going to have to worry about whether or not that you're going to have a place to stay. You're not going to have to worry about whether or not you can take care of what you need to take care of. I truly believe that. And I don't believe that God needs to take away everything from us to teach us something. He may have to for some of y'all, but for the most part, God wants to take care of our needs. James 4:3 says, he says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. That you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Part of this is that if you're going to ask from Jesus something, you've got to have your heart in the right place. It's a heart condition. If you have your heart in the right place, then you can ask for whatever you want. Paul said it in Philippians chapter 4, and my God will meet all of your needs according to your riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. If you need to be able to pay your bills, God wants to be able to help you do that. If you need to be able to eat, God wants you to be able to do that. If you need a car that runs, God wants to be able to do that. If you're putting Him first in your life. People sometimes want the blessings of God before they're submitted to God, and God in His mercy and wisdom will do it for some people. But give your life totally over to Jesus and watch what He does with your needs. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You guys heard the Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Some translations of the Bible say, I shall lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. If the Lord is my shepherd, why would I need for anything? He's going to take care of every need that I have. You know, I had somebody this week. We were talking on the phone on Thursday, and he was in a little bit of a spiritual conundrum. And he said, you know what? I know that the Lord's going to bless me, but I need him to bless me soon. Because I've ran out of money and I've got a little more month left. And you know what's so funny is my heart wanted to write a check. That's what my heart wanted to do. My heart wanted to write a check. And I said, and the Holy Spirit said, don't. Wait, I'm going to move. I'm going to take care of it. Next day, I got a text message, all caps. God is good. And I wrote back, tell me something I don't know. He's a just-in-time, going-to-take-care-of-it type of God. And here's the thing about this person. They're in this room, but I'm not going to point them out. It's not Brother Lonnie. I looked at him and I said, it's not Brother Lonnie. Why do I tell you that story? Because I want you to understand that we serve a need-meeting God.
Amen.
This person that I'm talking about, and just let me talk good about them. They're in this room. They're going to love this. It's faithful. Faithful man of God. Puts God first in everything. Blesses him with his first fruits. Serves God wholeheartedly. Why would God not take care of his children?
That's right.
Amen.
My kids ain't going to go hungry.
Yep.
I'm going to take care of my kids.
Yep.
You can ask Jesus for whatever you need and see what he gives you. I believe that if you put God first in your life, he will take care of you. If you are taking care of what you need to take care of, God is going to take care of you.
Amen.
Psalm 37:25. I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Never seen it. The verse I love is Proverbs 38. It says this, and this it really displays the balance that I'm talking about here. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Just give me my daily bread. There's a delicate balance there between getting what you need and having more than you need. You got to keep the Holy Ghost in it. Amen? So here's the last part of this, and then we're going to start killing some people in the water. You should receive from Jesus whatever he gives you to satisfy your thirst. Because he knows. He knows what you need. What once you ask, whatever he gives you is going to satisfy. He's going to give you whatever it is that you need or want for whatever situation that you find yourself in. In this situation, what this lady needed was something to satisfy her truest thirst. She said, I need water. And he says, you don't need water, lady. You need eternal life. These were castaway Samaritans serving a false god. And he says, you don't need water. You need me. You need eternal life. Let me give you some of this eternal life. Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, even when we ask him for things, knows specifically what we want. Excuse me, specifically what we need. Having a cup of water to satisfy a natural thirst when what you really have is a spiritual thirst is a waste of time. Do you hear me on that, church? The only thing that you need and the only thing that will satisfy is the gift of eternal life that Jesus Christ will give you.
Amen.
And I tell you, as a person that's received that gift of eternal life, I will tell you, I am satisfied.
Amen.
I don't want for anything. There's nothing that I don't sit around and think, man, if I just had this thing that plugs into the wall, I'd be so happy. I don't desire it. I don't need it. Do I have it? Sure, there's some things I have that plug into a wall, but if I didn't have them, I'd still serve God. I wouldn't be worried about it. Isaiah 58:11 says this, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. He will strengthen your frame, and you'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. We serve a God that loves us and wants good things for us, and we must walk in it. what the Lord gives us will satisfy and sustain us. Let me give you a couple more scriptures. Psalm 104:28. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. Psalm 107:9. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. This is what I want to leave you with this morning. I start out by talking about being dissatisfied. And if there's an area of your heart that you're dissatisfied, I want you to receive what the Holy Spirit has for you this morning in your heart to feel satisfied. Do this. Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads for a moment? You baptism people want to start getting ready. Just got anybody from the worship team? You guys want to come up and play a little bit of music? Now, just close your eyes and bow your heads for a minute. Would you do that for me, please? And the reason why is because I want you to be able to receive what Jesus has for you this morning. I don't want you to have any distractions. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to take a bold step of faith. And you don't have to be loud about it. Maybe you can just speak it in your mind, or maybe you just quietly do it with your mouth and say, Jesus, this is an area of my life that I need you to satisfy me in. Say, Jesus, this is an area of my life that I need you to satisfy me in. And ask him to satisfy it. Ask for it in faith. Say, Jesus, this is an area of my life. It might be a spiritual need. It might be an emotional need. It could be a physical need. Whatever that need is. God, would you just move? God, would you move right now? Holy Spirit, we're asking you to move right now. Holy Spirit, we're asking for you to move right now. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that as we do this, God, that you would move. Holy Spirit, that you would touch. God, that you would satisfy the innermost parts of people's hearts. God, we ask you to just satisfy your people with good things right now. God, if it's a tangible need that someone has, God, we pray that it would be tangibly met right now in Jesus' name. God, for those people that need a spiritual healing right now, God, we ask for that spiritual healing right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we pray right now that you would just fill up. Father, that you would redeem. That you would fill. We ask these things today, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you just receive that by faith this morning? Did you have something you want to say? Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah, if you got kids, would you just run upstairs and get them so they can come down and see the baptism? If you got kids? Sure. Just so you guys understand what baptism is a dying to self. It says to the people of God, and it says to God, God, I just don't want to be the same person that I was before. And I know that there's some of you that are here this morning to be baptized. And if you haven't been baptized before, today would be a great day to be able to do it. Amen. Be a great day to be able to do it. Let's do this. Would you stand with me this morning? Let's worship with this song until the baptism people come down. Then we're going to have a baptism. Let's sing the song.